Good evening, and welcome to Civil Politics here on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP 103.3 FM out of Northampton, Massachusetts. I'm Michael Dow, stumbling over the starting line with my good friends Sue Timberlake and John Moore Roberts. Hey, guys.
Hey there.
And, I don't know what exactly we're going to talk about, because there's suddenly a feast of topical options that are, you know, relevant for us to talk about on the show. But certainly we'd love to hear from our listeners. And if you have ideas for things we want to talk about, please let us know. You can email contact at civilpoliticsradio.com. That's really the best way to reach the show, though. You know, if you've got, you know about our personal emails or whatever, if you know us, by all means, reach out that way. Sure. What could go
Why
wrong?
Why would you tell anybody about that?
Well, I'm not telling people what your email is.
Hey.
Any comments, send them to Mike Dow at...
Right. Send your show ideas to harriedproducer69 at hotmail.com. Yeah.
Our listenership just went up.
Yeah, I'm sure. And you can also go to civilpoliticsradio.com, which is our special website with recordings of the show and stuff like that. So, yeah.
First, happy vernal equinox to all those that
enjoy
that time of year.
Indeed.
All my Wiccan and pagan friends.
Yay.
Yay.
Or people who just, you know, like more
sun,
daylight.
Like more daylight, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, you
snow.
Jerks.
I think we're getting snow.
We are getting snow. We're supposed to get some snow either tonight or this weekend.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Wintry mix is what I heard. But yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah, I'll be okay with that, I guess.
It's pleasantly cool out right now. I like that.
It's daylight savings time. Good for all you.
Yeah.
Good for all of you,
so
I guess.
You'd settle on standard time if you had your druthers?
Yes, yeah, there's no reason to have daylight savings time.
Yeah, I think we should just stick with standard time and call it a day.
Literally no reason.
Doesn't Arizona just stay with standard?
Yes,
it's a state that just
Hawaii does as well, and the entire nation of Mexico.
Yeah.
Makes
some sense. At least we should follow through with the plan to join the Atlantic standard time.
Or, you know, pick one and stick with it. But
yeah. Yeah.
I mean, time is made up.
You sound so old school.
But
stability and predictability.
What's wrong with that?
Right. That's why it's a good idea to...
There is nothing progressive about just changing time for no reason.
Chaos and destabilization aren't actually inherently good.
I've heard, I haven't been able to find the book, Doris Kearns Goodwin, and she compares this time to all the things that were happening to people just before World War II and during World War II that made it so unstable and fearful, and what kind of leadership you need when, you know, populations are changing and people are feeling threatened. And I think it's one of her books, and I can't find which one it is.
I think there's a lot of parallels to what's happening now and what was happening 100 years ago, you know, at the end of the 19th, beginning of the 20th century, with anarchism and socialism and everything.
And all the communication styles, radio and TV, and, you know, all that stuff just kind of really makes people nervous. But you'd go for stability and predictability. Okay.
Well, at least when it comes to time zones, sure. Why not?
That's
the whole point of time zones in the first place.
Why wouldn't we want stability or predictability?
Because a lot of change happens when you have disruptive capitalism and...
Sure, you know, and...
Destructive capitalism.
So change is just inherently good?
Yeah.
Oh!
I mean, sure.
Yeah.
Why exactly are you part of the Republican Party again? what was that about?
Yeah, well... I don't know. I fell asleep on the couch, so I think my record has gone a little off.
You fell asleep on the couch, and now you're part of the Republican Party?
I guess so.
Yeah. Well, speaking...
Sue was drinking Jaeger.
Speaking
like
of...
Blacks out, wakes up, part of the Republican Party, voted for Truman or whatever. I don't know.
I like Ike. What can I say?
I have, yeah,
whatever you say, Sue Van Winkle. But speaking of predictability and things sort of sticking in a groove, I do just want to give a shout, give a notice to our listeners. Coming up in the coming week, Thursday the 28th is opening day for the baseball season. Hooray! But also,
March Madness, right?
This week. That has to do, that's basketball, I think.
Yeah, no, I was doing parallel that's happening right at the moment. So
yeah, but I mean, I care about baseball. So
oh, sorry. Well, I don't actually care, but I like soccer. So
yeah, I know. But the other thing is the 27th, that Wednesday, is Rosetta Stone Day. In other words, that is the date of the proclamation in 196 BC announcing the accession to the throne of Ptolemy V, pharaoh of all Egypt, and announcing a number of tax rebates, clemency for prisoners, and gifts to a number of important temples and whatnot. And that declaration was chiseled onto a bunch of different marker stones that were sent to temples all over Egypt, and that was done in three different languages.
Social and, media.
Yes, and one of them, a big chunk of it was buried in the mud in the town of Rosetta in Egypt and found again in the 19th century. And that's why we have the Rosetta Stone.
It can translate all those languages.
I don't know.
Now you know the rest of the story.
Yes. Well, you know, it's very old politics, but it's politics.
Wait, tax rebates? You perked me right up there.
Yeah, I thought I might. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, establishment of state religion. I know that's a thing you're, as a Republican, you're contractually obliged to be in favor of.
As an atheist, let me say.
Yes, quite.
I'm here in this country because it's supposed to be freedom of religion.
Yeah.
And freedom from religion, if you so choose.
Which I do, yes. Okay. So, yeah, but the...
what is it Ronald Reagan's son says? Not afraid of burning in hell.
Being the son of the devil, like, you shouldn't really be afraid of that. It'll just be a family reunion for everybody.
Right. I'm also not afraid of Bernie going to hell either, because I think Bernie's just too good of a man. Anyway. So, but speaking of diabolical Republican figures, former President Trump...
He is not a Republican.
Well,
he owns the party now, though.
Yeah, he is. He's a Republican. He signed up for it. He was a Republican. He's a member of the Republican Party. He's a Republican.
Yeah.
The Republican Party is basically all about doing whatever he wants.
Oh, I know. His daughter-in-law and the RNC and the money that's all going to go to pay his bills.
Yeah, yeah. So I have a feeling that could be a real problem for Republican campaigns.
Down ballot, yeah.
Well, throughout the coming year, yeah, because you know it's going to be hard to get the funding if Mr. Trump is going to snatch it all up, and there's every reason to think that he will. It's also interesting because I think it's by next Monday he has to either come up with $484 million, or the Attorney General of the state of New York can just start...
Letitia James.
Yeah, seizing his assets.
She's got it all. She did the paperwork today.
Yeah.
She's all ready to go. Might scare him to death.
And I was just... probably. Well, I was just amused because his attorneys have filed paperwork saying, like, look, you know, you need to cut him some slack. That's a ton of money. And, you know, like, you know, who's got that much cash on hand? And it's hard to find any kind of bank or insurance company that will give them a bond to underwrite it. And I mean, you know, okay, yeah, sure. But this morning, a venture capital company is like merged with or acquired the Truth Social company that is Mr. Trump's sort of social media company. And so now he's bragging about how he's got $500 million in cash. So either he does, and it's all going to the state of New York right away. Or he doesn't, and he's just screwing up, you know, making it impossible for his lawyers to even try and advocate for him. Either way,
somebody thought he might try, and before this happened this week, they were saying bankruptcy is one of the ways that he could just pause it a little bit, because they'd still, it would make it harder for them to get his real estate and all that stuff.
Sure, but it would also make it harder for him to use any of his resources to fund his campaign.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and don't they have a guardian on it right now? I think they do.
Yes.
Or something. Is it a woman?
Yeah, there's an administrator of the Trump organization, because they committed fraud, and neither he nor his sons can be officers of a corporation in New York right now. So it's going to be a problem for him.
We got to really make sure he wins presidency, or he's like toast.
Who's we?
I'm kidding. I do not support Donald Trump, as you know, because I don't like misogynists who steal money and are fraudulent. And,
what?
You know, just
commit sexual assault.
Assault. Yeah. Just not my cup of tea. But you know, I used to belong to a Republican Party where they had some feelings about that stuff. I don't know where they went.
Well, it turns out in the end that they'd really rather follow a strong man, you know? I guess they like the idea of some overly aggressive person who wants to just throw his power around is what they're looking for.
I like big burly and knowing how to use power, but I don't like it when they do.
Well, Mr. Trump clearly knows how to use power, because he seized control of one of the two major political parties in the United States.
Yeah. You know? It's sort of...
So he
shocking.
Really sounds like your kind of guy when you put it like that.
Yeah, except for I like him to stay within the law.
Oh. Sure.
Yeah.
But have you considered maybe just that maybe the law is for, you know, cucks and liberals, and that you should embrace Führer Prinzip?
Oh, sounds like Caesar versus Cicero. The ends justify the mean. Let's cross the Rubicon and see what happens. Okay.
Yeah. You know, you've got that yakta, you know, that alias, so, you know, just yakta est it, you know? It's all good.
Ends justify the means, Machiavelli.
But it's also...
I think it's Machiavelli, too.
But it's also Caesar. That was his argument with Cicero, the great thinker, because Cicero said that the ends never can justify the means.
We are so... interesting, this show.
I don't know.
I hear crickets actually, from our audience, right?
Was that Cicero and Caesar? Because I thought it was, I thought Cicero was having that argument with Pompey Magnus, one of the other triumvirs. And Pompey's response was, you know, why are you coming here speaking of laws to men who have swords?
Do you guys want to hear a fun story about Colorado?
Sure.
Yes, actually.
Yes, so, quick, save us from ourselves.
Yeah.
Oh,
exactly.
Way too late for that.
So there are, I think, four districts in Colorado. Lauren Boebert is a congresswoman for the first, I believe. She decided to...
Because that race was really close last year.
It was, actually. Yeah. She almost lost, and she's decided to leave that district and run for the fourth, which is a more solidly Republican district.
Isn't that the guy who just, like, up and quit his job
last
week?
Here's the thing.
Did she move?
Here's the thing. Yes.
What you'd hope.
Here's the thing. His name is... Ken Buck.
That's right, yes.
He said, screw it, I'm leaving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he just said, I'm not going to. And in fact, he left. He's not doing his whole term.
He left.
So what are they, two votes in the House apart, I think? Or
so, but so you reminded me of this because you're like, where did they all go? They left. They left. So he's I'm done because I'm sick of the partisan crazies. I'm done, right? So that means Lauren Boebert would have to either leave her district now and run in that race, or keep her district, still run in that race against whoever wins the special election. In which case she's going to be running against an incumbent. technically. It's hilarious.
That's and interesting.
And the governor of Colorado is a Democrat, so they certainly, they're, you know, it being only March, there is enough time
to change,
to do a special election and actually have
they,
someone.
Yeah, they have
the
to.
Well, sure, but I mean, you know, if this were like, you know, July, be like, yeah, whatever, you know, like, fine, you know, what's
yeah,
the point of doing it for 2 weeks?
Or they changed the law so that the member of their party, the governor, can.
Yeah, but they're doing a special election, and that means that she has a choice to make.
Yep.
Interesting. So well done, Kenba.
Yeah, so he's gone. Someone is going to take his place, probably a Republican, which means she has to primary someone. And who knows who that's going to be. But he is going to be coming off of winning a special election.
For that seat in that district.
Exactly. And she's going to be like, hi, I'm a carpetbagger. How's it going?
Yeah.
So it's going to be really interesting, Colorado. I don't know who's running for her seat because she is committed to moving to districts. So I don't know who's going to be running for her seat, but it's possible that a Democrat could win.
Yeah.
It almost happened in 2022. So, yeah.
Yeah. Also, Lone Berbert, like, she's not a good candidate or person. So, that might run into it. Like, they might actually run a stable candidate that doesn't go to.
But not a stable genius.
That doesn't run in, like, ruin kids' musicals. Maybe they'll elect someone that's not like that.
Doesn't behave like that in
that
a public
behave
theater.
Like, yeah, and yeah. They behave like that in public, where in 20 years ago she would be drummed out of Congress, but now she's, you know, nobody cares.
Well, that's one of the things
hilarious
that the Republicans, especially the House delegation, but just the Republican Party in general, like, has become tremendously unserious. I mean, worrying, concerning, and dangerous, but I don't know. This is stuff we've talked about before, but there just doesn't seem to be any particular.
A lot of performative stuff going on that you really can't get a sense.
Right, but I mean, it's sound bites and it's sound and fury signifying nothing. Like, they don't seem to really actually have like a governing agenda, like things they want to do. I mean,
or guiding principles.
Well, the guiding principle is whatever Donald Trump wants. You know, like the Republican Party has made a big stink of talking about how there's a crisis at the southern border and it needs to be secured and yada, yada, yada. You know, all this, oh, we're scared of the brown people coming in, so we've got to have more guys with guns to protect us from them or something.
Did you see that footage this week about people that crashed through the wire fence? But they came right up to the regular fence. But it was, I think it was in El Paso. It was quite it's amazing footage that the border guards did finally get it under control, but
I didn't see that.
Yeah. They ran over the,
I did see the footage of a bear up on top of the wall. You know, it's just like, hey, I'm a bear. Yep. This wall's a pain in the butt, but
those are
I'm over it anyways.
There are new drones. They just look like bears.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Bears.
Do you think Ken Buck has somebody in mind? He may have done this if he had somebody in mind.
I wouldn't be surprised if he did this to make things difficult for Lauren Boebert. But also, you know, who knows? I don't, like, he might have just had like a really cush lobbying job and they're like, hey, can you start this week? And he's like, yeah, what the heck?
Sure. Well, you know, Mayor Higgins did that here in Northampton.
Yeah.
She had somebody who she really wanted to be the next mayor. And so she resigned a few months early so that they would be acting mayor for a period of time. David Narkowitz.
Right.
And that's people do that on purpose.
I would not be stunned if President Biden wins re-election in this autumn, if a couple of years from now, say like January 21st of 2026 or something like that, or, you know, when like more than halfway through his term, he steps down.
Says he's tired, and then Kamala's. Yeah.
Yeah, and then she's got a couple of years to be president before.
Or to be beaten up by everybody, which.
Well, sure, but you know, like the advantages of being president for a couple of years could be quite significant.
Yeah, it's huge.
You know.
Yep.
And it's also a way to, you know, she could still run for election twice.
Yeah.
If she serves out less than, you know, she could serve out, you know, 2 years less a day, and it would still be valid for her to run twice.
Yeah, when Mayor Higgins did that with David Narkowitz, that was the year of the Irene hurricane. You know, we had the floods, and he actually activated the gates, the floodgates that hadn't been activated like in 20 years, to close off part of Northampton. You know, just to make sure they worked. And it was huge. It was in the paper, and you know, it gave him a lot of cred, actually. So sometimes that really
also, Mr. Narkowitz came down, and he was a guest of ours on the show once or twice.
Oh yeah,
he was.
And also, he
if you go to civilpoliticsradio.com. You can search for his name, and you'll be able to listen to it. We actually had a civil politics supplemental where me and Stefan just geeked out with him about city planning.
Yes. And also, he came and was at sort of the ribbon cutting or opening ceremony for the studio, the second studio here at the station, which is named after my late brother David.
Well, I didn't say it was bad. It's a strategy.
No. I'm not. Yeah. I'm remember. Like, since I'm feeling kind of scatterbrained right now, I just wanted to mention
reminisce a little.
It reminded me of my brother, and I miss my brother, and I love him, and you know, I appreciate that the station made the gesture of naming a studio after him because of his support.
That's a good really thing.
Nice. Speaking of scatterbrained.
Uh-oh.
Yes, you are telling about me. What about me?
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Right. Yes.
Oh, you were looking at me. I was like, uh-oh.
No.
I was actually looking this way. You're between the two of
you. You're circling back to the point I wanted to make. So the House has actually passed another budget measure, and I think it's more than just a brief continuing resolution for over $1 trillion or something. And this spending bill was carried with bipartisan support. And I think, in fact, Speaker Johnson needed Democrats to get it over the line, in part because people like, you know, Joe Buck's a sports guy, has left. So he's got very few votes in his majority. But because they passed a measure with Democratic agreement.
Terrible.
Yes.
Cooperate so like that.
Marjorie Taylor Greene has filed a discharge petition to remove Mike Johnson as Speaker of the House.
And she did it very smartly because she did a thing, as Clyde, I think, laid on the table. So it actually hasn't been moved to be submitted. It's like a threat without a follow through. Somebody, she can do it. She can pick it up and take it to the next
any
day.
Any single member can make that call.
Yeah.
But also the House is in recess for, I think, for the next
2 weeks.
Two weeks.
She submitted it today or yesterday. I think it was today. And she said, the quote that she said was, "It's more of a warning than a pink slip."
Yeah.
So it is on the table. The House has to pick it up after their 2 week recess that started. So in 2 weeks or a month, they might vote on it. And the thing is, actually, Gates, someone asked him about it, and he said that he wouldn't want them to take the vote because he's afraid that some Republicans would actually cross over and vote for Hakeem Jeffries.
Oh, that's interesting. I heard that.
Because at this point, it'd be like, just somebody be in charge.
Yeah.
It wasn't Ken Buck, but it was another senior Republican about 3 weeks ago said that they'd had a conversation with Hakeem Jeffries.
Sure.
And as long as they were moving legislation and getting a vote, that they would not let Mike Johnson be removed as Speaker, that they'd vote with the Republicans to keep him. So there sounds like they're making some moves here to just make it a little more less crazy, I guess.
Yeah, there's certainly lots to criticize about the idea of working with a bunch of sort of legal arsonists, incendiary figures.
You have to contain
figures,
them
but,
and isolate them.
Sure. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, you know, you're the minority party in the House right now. There's something to be said for actually passing laws or at least taking care of the vital business of the country, which, again, is not something the Republican Party seems particularly interested in doing. And to the extent that the Republicans in Congress have announced any kind of policy agenda, they've put forward a budget proposal to raise the starting age for Social Security and cut benefits in Medicare and just otherwise.
Really?
Yeah.
They said they weren't going to do that when they picked on Biden 2 years ago at his State of the Union.
It is a it's not a binding document, but basically it's a budget priorities document that, you know, the House, they don't have to do. It's not a legal requirement, but they did it. They did come out and say, you know, we think this is what we should do. So this coming along with President Trump saying, you know, if he doesn't get elected this fall, there'll be a bloodbath
in the auto industry. But I know it was squishy language.
Was in the auto industry.
Here's the thing. He was talking about the auto industry broadly speaking, but the man cannot stick to the point of anything. His mind flitters around and his mouth follows. So just because he dropped that sentence in the midst of generally talking about the auto industry, I don't see any reason to think that that is only limited to the auto industry. I think we can take him at his word. The man did actually, you know, incite a mob to attempt an insurrection. Like, I think we can probably say that, you know, an actual literal bloodbath would be what he would want.
If you want to take him at his word, then it would be about the auto industry. You're inferring.
No.
You are inferring right now.
No.
Because there was no evidence like
no.
that.
No. I completely disagree with
okay.
you. You're just wrong.
Do you remember? Do you remember Saturday Night Live skit where the guy would be talking along and then he'd just drop in a word that was like the opposite of what he was talking about? It was supposed to be subliminal.
Subliminal. John Lovitz.
Lovitz.
Yeah.
But Trump's not that sophisticated, but you're saying that it just pops into his mind and it comes out of his mouth.
Yeah. Well, and his mind wanders. You know, I think he's sundowning, as they say. And I think, you know, he's thinking about, well, the auto industry. But of course, what I really care about, you know, like the full sort of explanation of his train of thought isn't something that he can do. Yeah. But
I like Letitia James.
You know, the actual sentence he says is about how if he doesn't win election, there'll be a bloodbath. And I don't see any reason to think that no, he's trying to make some hyperbolic statement just about the auto industry. Really? Why? Like, if he hadn't already tried to overthrow an election once and, you know, incited a riot that killed people, you know, if he hadn't done that, I'd be...
And pardon the people.
Yeah. But no, he is, you know, and this, the same address, he was talking about how the people who have been imprisoned for January 6th are hostages. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, that's...
See, that's... You know, I have a time. That's what... This is what I'm talking about. There are so many things that he has directly said that are troubling.
This is also a thing he's directly said.
We don't need to think about, like, oh, what did he mean with this? Because he said, like, a lot of things, like, that are direct, and we know exactly what he's talking about.
The Justice Department.
We don't need to say,
the
like, oh, he said this, but he might have been sundowning or something like that. You know, like, that there is no actual connection to what he was saying. But he also said that the January 6th, people that were convicted and jailed within our justice system, which he loves, which he thinks is great, are political hostages.
Yes.
So I think focusing on stuff like that instead of like the bloodbath thing, which is like honestly up in the air, then because
honestly, if that sentence doesn't fit in with the rest of what he's saying. Yeah, you know,
nothing
about the
fits
auto
in what he's saying. That's what I'm talking about.
Right, and that's what I'm talking about.
Oh,
so,
my God. We should.
Therefore, you know, when the man just sort of throws random words out there or whatever, like when he has consistently pushed this whole election fraud, stolen grievance thing, Yeah, I, you know, why give him any kind of benefit of the doubt? You know, it's like saying, oh, you know, maybe Hamas really is hiding in that hospital and the Israelis really do need to send soldiers in there to dig him out. We got to give them the benefit of the doubt because we don't know the full context. It's like, yeah, we kind of do.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. We should break.
Can I say Letitia James or when we come
back? What about Letitia James?
When we come back.
All right. We'll come back to talk about New York Attorney General Letitia James. But this is Civil Politics here on Valley Free Radio. We're going to play some PSAs, promos, and station IDs and be back in just a couple of minutes. So please don't go away. We'll be back shortly.
Hi, my name's Leo, and I use he, him, his pronouns.
Hi, my name's AJ, and I use they, them, theirs pronouns.
Did you know that sex is your biology and gender is how you identify?
You can't assume someone's gender.
Based on their clothes.
Based on their hair.
Based on their voice.
Who they hang out with.
Who they're attracted to.
Ask me my pronouns!
Brought to you by the PVPA Student Group for Gender, Sexuality, and Diversity.
Did you know that veterans make up about one-third of America's adult homeless population? Only 3.9 cents of each income tax dollar last year went to veterans' benefits. Ever wonder about where your tax money goes? More information on how your tax money is being spent can be found at nationalpriorities.org.
I'm the town crier. Everybody knows.
The Town Crier, my new music an arts and entertainment show, airs Thursday morning from 7 to 9. Every week, we update listeners on what's happening in our vibrant communities. We'll talk to gallery owners, brewers, poets, restaurateurs, and more. We'll also take a musical road trip to one of our amazing musical scenes. Tune in from 7 to 9 on Thursday morning.
How long and how hard would you work to own your own home? At Pioneer Valley Habitat for Humanity, future homeowners contribute dozens of hours to build a home for their family, but they need your help. Thousands of community supporters have participated in this work since 1989. They create a partnership with a future homeowner and Habitat to build a home, strengthen our neighborhoods, and create a legacy for our community. Grab a hammer, lend a hand, build a better world. Volunteer and support Pioneer Valley Habitat for Humanity, pvhabitat.org.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! You're listening to Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP 103.3 FM in Northampton, Massachusetts.
Have you always loved to read but find it hard to do these days? Forbes Library offers a variety of alternatives to keep you reading long into the night. A large selection of large print books, audiobooks, and easy-to-use ebooks and e-audiobooks are available to borrow. You will find bestsellers, classics, and nonfiction offerings. Forbes Library is now affiliated with the National Library Service to provide audiobooks, magazines, and even the daily news for people with vision loss, difficulty holding traditional book or newspaper formats, and for people with certain learning disabilities. Our staff is happy to help you find just the book in just the right format. Call 413-587-1013 to find out more.
I found a boy today.
You want to learn to fix your bike? How to keep it tuned up so it's there for you when you need it? Or maybe you know already, but you just need to borrow a bike-specific tool that you don't have. Well, come to the Bike Lab.
Almost every Saturday since 2004, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., here in Northampton at 12 Northern Avenue.
Come with your bike or your questions.
And your willing attitude.
Spare parts scavenger hunt every weekend.
Vengan al Bike Lab de Northampton, el taller de bicicleta. Aprende a arreglar tu bicicleta y a divertirte.
All repairs guaranteed to the end of the driveway.
Details are online at pedalpeople.coop. That's the Saturday Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. They say freedom isn't free, but at the Bike Lab it is.
Ya súbase a la bici, compa. Trépese a la de montaña, la bici urbana, la bici cross. Lléguele a la bicicleta, ya
de menos a la eléctrica o a la estática, ya no hay tos. Llegaré pedaleando en el viaje de allá para acá.
Are you interested in connecting with the international community in the Pioneer Valley? Then volunteer to help your immigrant neighbors improve their English and integrate better into their surroundings. Become a volunteer tutor. Take a free 15-hour training taught by the International Language Institute in downtown Northampton. For more details and an application, go to ili.edu or contact Amy at ili.edu. Students come from Africa, Asia, Europe, Latin America, and the Middle East. So volunteer to tutor and expand your world.
Grow Food Northampton helps you make the local food system better. This is Michael Skillcorn, Director of Programs. You can join us by shopping at Northampton Tuesday Market, getting a plot at our community garden in Florence, buying a farm share at Crimson and Clover or Sawmill Herb Farm. You can volunteer with us in our giving garden or participate in our neighborhood markets that bring the local food movement to underserved communities in Northampton. Get involved and support our work at growfoodnorthampton.com. Y hablamos español. Pregunte por Michael.
Quiet, the show's starting.
Glad that you could join our Hilltown family. Spend a little time with Sienna and Persephone. So stay a while, hang your coat by the door. You know we've always got room for a couple more at the Hilltown Family Variety Show.
It's the Hilltown Family Variety Show. Music and fun for all ages, Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. with an encore show Sunday mornings at 7, right here on Valley Free Radio.
Looking for something to do this weekend with the family? Well, look no further than HilltownFamilies.org. Established in 2005, Hilltown Families is a grassroots communication network that shares events, resources, and updates with families living in Western Mass. Every Thursday, Hilltown Families publishes a comprehensive list of family-friendly events, workshops for parents, and community activities happening all over Western Mass. Hilltown Families is a great way to stay connected with other families in the area and up to date on events and activities. Go on over to HilltownFamilies.org and sign up for the Hilltown Families newsfeed and listserv. Fan us over on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. Many easy ways for staying connected and keeping up with what's happening for families here in Western Mass. That's at HilltownFamilies.org. HilltownFamilies.org.
And we're back with Civil Politics here on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP 103.3 FM out of Northampton, Massachusetts. I'm Michael Dow, still doing the show with Jonra and Sue. And Sue, you had a point you wanted to make about the Attorney General of the great state of New York, Letitia James.
Well, no, I was...
Who has just thoroughly spanked former President Trump in a civil suit for fraud.
That's a perfect lead-in. I actually want to talk about Fannie Willis, too, but...
Funny, right?
Funny, sorry.
No, it's all right.
Yes. So I heard this, and I don't know whether she said it or somebody said it about her, but they said that, people like Trump, they need somebody like Letitia James to seize him by the assets.
Yes.
And I thought that was a very nice saying. And I'm sure he's terrified. He's scrambling. He's for sure scrambling.
So. Mm-hmm.
But the judge could pause it. They could, right? They could, the appeals people could pause it. All these things are just being
dragged. It's unlikely that the state of New York will appellate court will pause it for the simple reason that, you know, the whole reason why, Mr. Trump is scrambling so much is
he wants to appeal.
Well, yeah. The law in the state of New York is, yeah, you can appeal, but you need to pony up the cash or at least put up a bond for the cash so that, you know, we know you'll actually pay. Because, you know, otherwise it's a way to sort of stall and, you know, hide assets or move them around or give them away or otherwise defer, you know, justice. So like, if you say, you know, you have to put up the money you're supposed to pay to sort of show like, yeah, no, I'm ready to handle, to obey the court. But in the meantime, I have some things that need to be addressed.
Grab them by the assets. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and that's because they know New Yorkers, because, you know, they're as slippery as they come. Right. And
well,
so the court systems are used to dealing
with. Honestly, I think there's some real criticisms to be levied at the,
officials and governmental structure, you know, how the state of New York operates politically. Mayor Eric Adams apparently has been credibly accused of sexual assault.
Grabbing them by the assets also.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's the...
I super like saying that.
I do. I don't know why.
Assets.
We were talking about rich people at the break, so, you know, I just got all ginned up.
We must remember rich people are truly awful. they are the scum of the
earth.
Some
of them are my best friends.
Well, we're delicious. But the, you know, there's the stupid shenanigans with like sending armed soldiers into the subway to keep order. And the thing about like, hey, let's put a 15-second delay on the emergency exits opening because too many people are, you know, trying to dodge the fares and, you know, the whole, it's all being terribly mismanaged, you know, and they're cutting funding for libraries because so they can have more cops and things. Just lots of
trying different things that are, yeah, don't really get the outcome that you want.
Right. Well, at least the outcome that in theory they want. Plus also, I don't know, did we talk about this on the show, how the one of the one of sort of the national problems the Democratic Party has been facing is that in a few states, mostly in the South, that are just controlled by the Republican Party, they have done partisan gerrymandering, you know, so that like, you know, Democrats get 48% of the vote share, but they only get 2 out of 10 seats in, you know, in Congress.
Democrats
like
have tried, but they're just not as good at it as we are.
Well, so the state of New York, it just recently came through like these legal hurdles that had been put in place have been overcome. So the Democrats could basically just set up the districts in the state of New York the way they wanted to. And the way they wanted to was they actually went from having 5 districts, congressional districts, where Donald Trump outperformed Joe or got more votes than Joe Biden, to now they've rearranged things. So now that there are 6. So it's absolutely in the national game of partisan hardball between the Republicans and the Democrats. The Democratic Party of the state of New York just completely, you know, snatched defeat from the jaws of victory.
They whiffed.
Absolutely.
There are a few reasons why Democrats aren't as good at gerrymandering as Republicans. One of which is Democrats don't usually have complete and utter control of their state, like from the state house to the governor to the judges, because the judges are like elected and everything like that. A lot of states in the Northeast, we're pretty stable. Like, we don't really like change all that much. So there's that. But really, it's because the Voting Rights Act. No. The
Voting Rights Act of
the Civil Rights Act that kept Southern states in line. I forget what it's kept.
The Civil Rights Act of 1965?
Yeah, the one that they repealed, the part that they repealed. So
that was the Voting Rights Act.
That wasn't, thank you.
Yeah, that was Section 2, the preclearance requirements that John Roberts said, like, well, you know, it's been long enough. Racism solved.
Exactly. That, so I'm... You know, I'm right even when I don't know I'm right. So
now that's a talent. That's a
just
talent.
Being a jerk at this point.
Well, I'd like to try that.
John Radomis, so he's actually predicting what the right answer is, even if he doesn't know.
That is one of the reasons that I think one of the reasons why they're so able to gerrymander so well now, because they don't have to answer to anybody.
Sure.
And they did a pretty good job in New Jersey. But then their court said, no, you know, so Southern courts, as like even state courts, they're not going to probably bat an eye on that sort of thing. Maybe, you know, but if they have the governorship and like an overwhelming number in their state houses, yeah, they can do that.
Yeah. Well, that was a project that they embarked on in 2010 and it worked pretty well. And, you know, in Minnesota, it's just been sort of, or was it Wisconsin? Sorry, Minnesota, I'm pretty sure. It's just been kicked over finally with the Democrat, like, you know, lefties are now the majority in the state Supreme Court. And so Republican efforts to preserve the rigged districts they have are not going to last.
Yeah.
But
in other news,
well, the state of New York, I think like the political people there, a lot of them don't seem to know what they're doing, you know, like don't seem to actually know how to run things, don't know how to run campaigns.
Kathy Hochul. Oh, Hochul. Sorry.
Kathy Hochul, the governor, for example, you know, Mayor Eric Adams. Governor Cuomo before that,
right? Yeah,
you know, Mayor de Blasio before that just doesn't seem to have done a particularly great job. That just, you know, Democrats keep getting are elected to these jobs, and then they basically turn out to sort of run on the same kind of nonsense that Republicans actually do, even though they're supposedly Democrats. But I think the thing that's is kind of cool is the state of New York. Their laws, they seem to have really thought about, well, what happens when rich people try to just have it their own way? And how can we actually sort of yank the chain to restrict the power of people with wealth to just buy their way out of trouble? And we've seen with the civil prosecution of Mr. Trump an excellent example of how those laws work. In particular, the provision that they didn't have to demonstrate that the inflated false valuations of his properties that he did, they didn't have to show like, and these people were harmed to this amount by it. It's just like you wildly inflated the value of your properties when you were trying to get loans and then deflated it for taxes. Doing that inherently damages the public interest, the common good of the people of New York.
Well, New York's very experienced with it, as you said. That's why they're good
right.
at it.
Yeah. And so they've passed this law to deal with that.
They've seen this trick before.
Right. And so if you want to appeal the judgment in this case, you have to put up the cash first. Otherwise, you forfeit your right of appeal. Like, this is why, because otherwise, as we've seen, Mr. Trump will just attempt to run out the string for as long as possible. And it's actually fascinating to see the American legal system actually
trying to hold somebody accountable.
Right. And having some success.
Yeah.
You know?
But look at poor Fannie Willis and what they put her through. And she's going to zoom ahead with the court case, but they're going to appeal it. They could still get her removed.
I don't think so. Yes, they could, because who knows,
what a jury's going to do?
Well, who knows what a judge is going to do? An appeal is going to go before an appellate court. Yeah. But like, there has to be a clear, they have to make a clear error in the laws of the state of Georgia. And I'm like, from what I've seen, that's just not going to happen.
The laws in Georgia seem kind of fluid sometimes.
Well, that's a potential issue, but I'm not an expert on Georgia law, but from what I've seen and, you know, some breakdowns I've heard about this. Oh, actually, longtime listeners may recall that about a year ago, I expressed dismay that a podcast I've been listening to for a long time called Opening Arguments, which is a good legal and politics, legal and political affairs podcast, that I had stopped listening to it because the legal expert on there had lots of Me Too allegations come out against him, and it was really terrible and whatnot. Well, he's gone, and the show is back with a different attorney who's a immigration attorney out of Boston, actually. I can't remember the gentleman's name right now, but he does immigration law and a lot of criminal defense, and he seems pretty cool. So
good.
So, yeah.
So they got the rights to the name back, and they got the website back.
Exactly.
A long battle, if I remember correctly.
Yes. So. And they did a long breakdown about all this shenanigans, it's a lot. It's honestly soap opera level stuff, some of it, because, you know, it's like, oh yeah, you know, like one guy, they made the allegation like, oh yes, well, they, you know, Ms. Willis and the other fellow whose name
Wade,
Mr. Wade, you know, they say their relationship started on this date, but actually they were involved long before and everybody knew it. And when it was finally like, well, what's your evidence for that? It's like, well, this one guy sent me a text saying, oh yeah, I'm sure they were together. And when that guy was called up onto the witness stand,
had not, never seen anything firsthand. He was
right. He was just saying, this is my opinion. And he, you know, I can't, he said something like, oh crap. You know, like he clearly did not expect to be shown his own text and asked to, like, did you say it?
Yeah. Right, why did you say this?
So why did you say that? What is your basis for that? And like, yeah, vibes, you know, yeah. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Just, that's kind of just what I, my opinion of the matter, which is not proof.
But they have damaged her reputation, so
Oh yeah.
Hopefully she'll get reelected, but who knows?
Right, but that, well, that's all political stuff, and that's up to the voters of Fulton County. And, you know, if they decide that they don't think her behavior meets their ethical standards, you know, I can kind of see that anyways. I mean, I haven't sort of delved into this in huge detail, but I'm like, okay, I certainly can understand that argument. And that's the kind of political judgment that voters get to make. And since I don't live in Fulton County, Georgia, I'm going to keep my mouth shut about that for once.
Yeah.
You know, I don't hear a cheering crowd at the idea of me keeping my mouth shut. That's weird.
Well, you know, if you think of it as she hired a boyfriend, you know, sort of in the basic, that's the problem, right? And yet, you know, here in Northampton, when before Jody Casper became captain, a chief, the previous chief, I think, was having an affair with like the person who did the desk and gave her all kinds of hours and stuff, and that whole thing. And then they were, maybe it wasn't the chief, but the assistant chief, then they were gone. I mean, that's sort of what the city did, was they took care of it when they became evident that, you know, time cards had been falsified. And,
well, falsifying time cards is a different matter, you know.
Well, but
then starting a relationship with a guy you've hired, like, that wasn't good.
Nepotism is often, especially in government jobs, is really, you know, you can't do that. You can't hire members of your family and stuff.
For good reason.
A few things.
Yes.
Firstly, the guy on opening arguments is Matt Cameron.
Thank you.
Secondly, Fonnie Willis is up for re-election this year, like we were talking about.
This year? Oh, so in November?
Yeah, and she now has two challengers.
Right, we'll see how that goes.
Courtney Kramer, who is a lawyer, who is from a firm who identifies herself on Instagram as a MAGA attorney.
Oh, dear.
Oh, well, I don't think that'll fly well.
Not
in Fulton
Kramer
County.
And Kramer, then.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Sue, I have a newspaper.
That's a TV reference. Sorry. Oh, you're going to get me.
No. That's no.
A newspaper, because we can't use a squirt bottle around all these electronics.
It's true. And we can't use a bad cat, no. And Christian Y. Smith. It was a Democrat who has served as Atlanta City solicitor and a Fulton County prosecutor. So primaries for her job are on May 21st. So that should be interesting.
That will be interesting.
Right in the middle of this. Oh, man.
Well, they still don't have a trial date in the election trial in Georgia. So, you know, exactly when that's all going to come down, who knows? But, in the end, she's still running the prosecution, and she's already gotten a number of convictions, and she seems to, on the whole, have been doing a good job of running things. And this has been a hassle for her, and it's a political challenge. But in terms of the actual administration of the prosecution, she seems to be doing it okay. I mean, again, from what I can see from the outside.
She's very detail-oriented, so she would have been in on all the decisions.
Right.
So, but still, she lost, you know,
she lost the
right hand.
The specialist she hired to be the lead prosecutor. But there are other people involved, including apparently one of the other people consulting on the case is the guy who actually, you know, wrote a literal textbook about RICO prosecutions and election law in Georgia.
Uh-oh.
So, you know, she's got good people on it.
Yeah. Well, what a summer we're going to have.
Yeah. So, and at the moment, they're still expecting in the middle of April to proceed with the Stormy Daniels payola trial of Mr. Trump in New York. So we'll see.
Yeah, that was all about the records that didn't get turned over.
Right, and the claiming, you know, hiding payments by saying there were legal fees for Michael Cohen.
No, I meant the delay that we're having right
now.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, the revealed records. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We've got to wrap it up in a moment here, but John, did you have like a final thing you wanted to say, or are you just...
Baba Booey? I got nothing right now. I think you guys pretty much covered everything. I just wanted to say that if you weren't able to vote in the primary, there you should still try to get registered. No matter where you are, register yourself to vote, and remember to vote your conscience in November. That's basically my whole deal, I think.
The more people that vote, the better. It's really important.
And we will be talking about that election more as the year goes on. It is a thing I'm struggling with because, it's like clearly, you know, Joe Biden, better choice than Donald Trump. I think the Democrats are better choices than the Republicans. But at the same time, we're not doing enough about the ongoing atrocities in Gaza, and Joe Biden could be doing a lot more about that, and that is a problem for me. So...
Children are starving.
Yes. Children are starving.
We're building a pier. We haven't finished it yet to bring in food.
And we don't... What? Why do we need to build a pier? We could just say, like, Israel, let our trucks through. And that would be it. But... Anyway. Yes. And... I give us some credit for passing for putting a ceasefire resolution before the UN, which the Chinese and the Russians vetoed. So, I don't know. It could have been better, but perfect shouldn't be the enemy of the good. Anyway, on that note, let's do a perfectly good ending to the show. Yes, that's it. So, thank you for listening to Civil Politics Tonight here on Valley Free Radio. Later on tonight, we've got Subculture at 8, Table of Contents at 10, and OK Asia at midnight. All great shows. You should listen to them. We'll have a podcast of the show out over the weekend, and we'll have a repeat broadcast Monday afternoon at 4. Hey, friends, if you're listening, great to have you. But that'll do it for now. Thanks for listening. Buenas noches.
Civil Politics is a member of the PlanetSide Podcast Network. To learn more, go to planetsidepodcasts.com.